Well, if you'll take your Bibles this morning, we've got some selected verses from the book of Acts. We'll start in the first chapter, and then we'll go over to the second chapter and read a few verses there. I wanted to say I appreciate the guys that have put the flags out for us for the holiday that's coming up on Thursday. I understand if you like them, you thank Joe. If you don't like them, it's Doc that you need to see. Thank you guys for displaying the flag for us this weekend. Spiritual awakening, spiritual renewal. Something that I think we need, something that I need, something our church needs. We talked last week as this little mini-series began about the lost axe head and how it represents the power of God that probably or could be gone in our lives. In the midst of being busy for God, we lose the axe head and we lose the ability to serve the Lord in a way that we want to and we ought to and we need to. This morning I want to share with you some thoughts from the book here of Acts that where God did some things in the lives of some early New Testament Christians, and we're going to see how much that moment in time for them could mirror this moment in time for us these 2,000 years later. And I'm going to talk about a little bit. Now, our subject is spiritual renewal. But I'm going to use the word revival this morning quite a bit, I think. And I'm going to talk about what a revival is. And maybe some things about what it is not as well as we seek to be spiritually renewed. Whether or not you want to be, I hope that you'll pray for that. I hope that our church is preparing ourselves for something greater than we've ever done and seen by the hand of God. And I think it revolves around people and reaching people and doing the things that we ought to be doing. So with that said, let's read together some verses from Acts chapter 1. We'll begin with verse 13. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Verse 1 of the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues, languages, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And then drop down or turn the page like I have to verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, each one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 41 says, "So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Amen. Thank you very much, and you may be seated again. I think one of my fears, not my greatest, I guess, but one of the fears that I have is is that really we come to this series on spiritual awakening. And in that series, we talk about revival. And we have some preconceived ideas as to what all of that means. What a revival is. What a spiritual awakening is for each one of us. We've heard about revival. You may have grown up in a place, a city, a community, whatever, where you've experienced a week of some preaching, and that was called revival. I tell you, that's not revival. It just really isn't. We've done that here at North Hills in times past. Revival, these things cannot be worked up. These things cannot be advertised and have much success. There is this particular evangelist that can come and often does come, and he may preach 3 or 4 or 5 nights or a week or whatever, but that's not it. It's about God's people hearing the message of God, responding to that message, and rising up in obedience and walking in the newness of life. Not after salvation, but after that spiritual renewing. G. Campbell Morgan wrote these words: "You cannot organize a revival, but you can set your sails to catch the winds of heaven when God chooses to blow upon His people." And I am praying that not just during these 4 sermons I'm going to preach, and the ones behind us, and here's this one and 2 more, but I am praying that we will catch the winds of heaven as God blows upon our lives and upon our church. And I want to give you 3 words this morning, and they're those little words that are pretty familiar with. That, so I don't want to get you just kind of caught up with, well, there's 3 words, he's used them before, I've heard those in those sermons, and we're on down the road to lunch, okay? So let's think about what I'm going to say and what I think God wants us to hear this morning. The first word is preparation. Preparation. Now, we hear that. How do we prepare for a spiritual renewal? Well, in the past, and here we go back, in the past, here at North Hills, in the past where you grew up, a date was set. A pastor or evangelist was called. Let's find a man. Let's pick out some songs. Let's have a little bit of prayer. And let's wait for the date, and we'll experience revival. And in those moments and days where there was preaching, there may have been souls saved, and those things are great and wonderful in and of themselves. But revival is for the church. Revival is about God's people being renewed and revived so that the work can be done in a greater way for God. The first church, going back to the book of Acts here, they prayed. They were in one accord and they were praying. They had prayed for 10 days. There was one sermon preached and 3,000 people were saved. What's the difference in that moment in time and the time in the 21st century? And the difference is that I think God the Spirit came down upon the lives of those people and ministered not only through Peter's mouth and tongue and mind, but into the lives and hearts of people that were listening. So preparation for a spiritual renewal, it first begins with oneness of mind. The Bible tells us here in this first chapter that there's unity. It says that they were all in one accord. There was unity there. They were talking about some things and praying for some things that only God could pull off. We talked about this last week, about getting back what may be lost in our lives and lost in our work. They wanted it. They wanted the power of God. There was the promise that it was going to come and God was going to give that. But there was this oneness of mind and they were praying for this. And the first few verses that we read, especially into the first verse of the second chapter, when the day of Pentecost came, they were where? They were all together in one place. They were still praying. They were still expecting. They wanted this to come. They were all of them. They all had the same purpose. They all had the same direction. They all wanted the same result. And that's what we've got to have. And I understand in a church of our size, or any a church of any size, that there are different personalities that come together here on any given Sunday morning. I get that, don't you? Some of you like red. I like blue. Some of you like this and some of you like that. That's fine. There's no problem with that. But when it comes to the gospel and when it comes to reaching the lost, we must be all of one mind in this. We want to see this come together. That's the pursuit of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which brings about the presence of God the Holy Spirit, not only in corporate worship, but in our lives individually. Spiritual renewal will occur when the people of God all come together and desire that we want God to bless and use us in a great way. That is what He's talking about, and that's what I'm talking about. So a question that, I think any pastor with half a brain would want to ask right now is this one. Now, don't laugh when I say half a brain, because you know I don't even have that. But here's a question that needs to be asked right now. Are you happy with where you are in your walk with God? Good for you. Amen to that. And that's good. But I think there was a lot that wouldn't say amen to that. Don't know that everybody's just happy as they can be in their walk with God right now. Are you pleased with the condition of your heart and your mind? Are you seeking the mind of Christ? What are the things that come to mind when I ask the question, are you seeking those things? What is it that comes to mind? Are you involved with prayer and Bible study? Are you involved with God throughout the week or just for the hour that you're here on Sunday morning? Well, do these words mean anything to you? Apathy? Indifference? Resentment? Bitterness? Anger? Are some of those words the things that go through your mind when you leave this building and you start a new week? Are you apathetic about the things of God because you've just got other things to do? Are you indifferent to the things of North Hills Baptist Church because you've got other things to do? And I get that. I understand that. Are you pleased with where you are in your Christian walk? Do you know who knows the answer to that? You do. It's you. Now, God already knows everything about us anyway. But the one person that knows the true answer to that is you. You know exactly where you are in your Christian walk. So, since I asked the first question, and I don't have but half a brain, I'll ask a second one. Here it is. Would you consider preparing yourself for a spiritual renewal? Would you consider that? I think some did last week that came and was a part of the first service of the spiritual renewal thoughts. If you feel that there's something that you could do to prepare yourself, would you not do that? I'm telling you, it begins with the openness of mind, that they were all of one accord, that God, I'm going to do more, I'm going to love you more, I'm going to read more about you, I'm going to study more about you, I'm going to talk to you more. It's all of these things. We want to come together. And the most important thing we do is not to sing and not to listen to me. The most important thing is that they were in one place with one accord and they were desiring the power and presence of God, the Holy Spirit, upon their lives. And that's what has to happen here. That's what I'm talking about. There was oneness of mind and there was an open heart, secondly, about this as well. In the upper room, there were 120 people that gathered and they devoted themselves to what? To prayer. They were praying. They confessed their sins. They apologized to each other for what they had done and what they had said, I'm thinking. They had apologized for where they had been and what they had done since the death of Christ. And God began to move in their lives and in their hearts. And there was this self-examination that took place. And then the third thing I think that was true about them that needs to be true of us is they opened their will to the will of God. They opened up their heart and their will to the very will of God. Their will. If you were to answer this question this morning, and I'd like for you to do it in your mind, what would you say to it? What do you think the greatest hindrance to a real spiritual awakening is here at North Hills? Now, I've had a week to think about this, so I'm going to give you my answer. So the question is, what do you think is the greatest hindrance to us having a spiritual awakening here at North Hills Baptist Church? And don't answer out loud, but I would like you in your mind to answer that. Because there may be more than one answer. There may be several good answers as well as the one I'm going to give you. But I think one of the greatest hindrances to a spiritual awakening here at North Hills Baptist Church is, you ready? Sunday morning only worship. And so you could say, well, what's the matter with that? Nothing's wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, if that's all there is to North Hills Baptist Church, it ain't enough. How in the world are we going to have a spiritual awakening, a spiritual renewal, if we're just going to do it for the 30 minutes when I'm talking here on Sunday morning or the hour that preceded this in Sunday school? You see, all of this stuff is about us. We have got to be ready to leave this place and touch some lives out there and do some things that God would have us do outside of the four walls that we're in right now. Sunday morning Christianity. I think that mindset has replaced genuine, committed people to the cause of Christ. I think that's right. Now, I'm not trying to get on your case and stay there and jump up and down on your toes, so to speak, this morning. But the church and your life will never be spiritually renewed if all we've got is a Sunday morning group of people that's happy being here and happy with what's done and glad to get on down the road to lunch here in a few minutes. What's wrong with this? Nothing. But there's some preparation that goes into this, you see. And there's an openness of mind. There's an open heart. And they open their will to the will of God. And that's what I'm talking about. And that comes on the heels of that comes supplication or prayer. Don't you think? They prayed. The first chapter is full of the fact that they were praying. God had made a promise to them. What was the promise? The promise was, in the fourth verse of the first chapter, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Here's the promise. But to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of me. The promise was the power of God. The Scripture speaks about their continuing in prayer constantly. Paul says later, men and women ought always to pray. It is an attitude. It's not an activity. An attitude. Can't you pray driving down the road? You can. I wouldn't recommend bowing your head and closing your eyes. I mean, that would not be a good thing. But with an attitude, God, I've got Him on my heart this morning. I'm thinking about that Sunday school class. I'm thinking about, this has come to mind. I'm asking you right now, as I'm driving down 107, I'm asking you to do a work in somebody's life right now. I'm praying for so-and-so who's having a procedure done today. You see, it's an attitude of prayer. It's not necessarily an activity. Remember, prayer is something that we do in our minds and hearts. It's how I think. It's what I think. It's especially about the things of God. These gathered in the upper room reminds me of what exactly we need to hear today. Look at verse 13 of this first chapter. When they entered the city, they went to the upper room, and now we've got a list of people that's there. Interesting, is it not? And I'm not going to reread these names because you're familiar with them. But there are the disciples. The disciples are back in Jerusalem. They had been up north to Galilee. They're back in Jerusalem. Peter had announced, I'm going fishing. Remember? He left, went to Galilee. They're back. And we have a list of these guys and some ladies that were there, plus the addition that was in the room. Now listen. This group was not the group that received the gold star and the blue ribbon for their faithfulness. This group fled for fear of the Jews. This group among the disciples, he's not there obviously, but this group was one of this of the bunch had betrayed the Lord. Another one had denied even knowing the Lord. And he's about to speak on behalf of the Lord. So my question is, what has changed? And I think the answer to that is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God is what has changed. There's still the motley group. He's still the one that denied. He's still the one that failed. He's still the one that they all have unspeakable sins that we don't even want to talk about, I suppose. They had an unspeakable set of circumstances. And here's a group that's assembled themselves together to pray for a spiritual renewal, a spiritual awakening. So what happened? The only thing that I can tell you is that God showed up. And that's what I want for North Hills. Don't you? I want God to show up. And I want God to show out. I don't want this to be about my preaching. I want it to be about what God is doing in the lives of His people. That's what it's about. And He shows up at North Hills, and it's regardless of who we are, is it not? And it's regardless of what we've done, just like with them. It's His presence. That's what we need. But not just during this hour, but all week long. 365 days a year. Peter, no doubt, I'm thinking they were in that upper room. Peter, don't you think this? I'm just use our imagination. Don't you think Peter, as he's not necessarily a spokesman yet, but don't you think as they gathered and they talked and they prayed and they're waiting for the Holy Spirit, don't you think Peter said aloud to this group, guys, I am a broken man. You know what I did. You know how I denied Him. I'm a broken man. Don't you think that those kinds of things were said among the people? Others said, I'll tell you, I can't believe I've been afraid of the Jews. Can't believe that. I think others sobbed. I'm saying to you this morning that this was not a little pity party, but a prayer party that they were a part of. And they were going to see the power of God fall upon their lives. Fervency in prayer. Waiting for God. Coming with a broken heart. Reaching out and taking a hold of the promises that we already have and they already were going to enjoy. And that brings us to a final thought this morning. And it's preparedness or being prepared. Preparation and supplication. And here again, just don't go, oh, that's kind of ho-hum. But it's expectation, is it not? I know that kind of like dry toast after the flu, I guess. But expectation is what they wanted, what they were expecting. Listen, they had a faith that believed the promise. I already told you what the promise was. The promise of the power of God. That's what he said in verses 1 and 2. They stayed in Jerusalem. The power of God was going to come. And they could believe that. if we're going to have a spiritual awakening here, if we're going to have a spiritual renewal, we need a faith that believes the promises of God. It's either an amen or we might as well go home. Thank you. We're going to believe this, or it's just another exercise and a loud yapping preacher. How much more time do we have? We'll be out here in 8 more minutes. I mean, that's kind of where we are, is it not? I'm looking at your faces and I'm thinking that it's just an exercise in a pastor preaching, practically begging, and you sitting there, and I mean as lovingly as I can, and it's, man, hurry up. Let's get on to next week. Spiritual renewal, we need this. Remember what we said last week? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Amen? I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will, God says, heal their land. What we need. That's what they were doing in the book of Acts. That's what we've got to do. Oh, the place was shaken where they were at. The spirit of expectation was among them. And I'm going to give you one last thought here, and I think it's this, that faith began to achieve the miracle. Their faith believing the promise that the Father was going to make to them. It's not what they could do, but what God was going to do through them. Amen? Can I say that again? It is not what they were going to do, but what God was going to do through them. That's what we're wanting, is it not? That's what I'm going to pray for. You join me with that. That's it. Not what we're going to do or accomplish, but what God is going to do. You see them breaking out, and the word is preached, and the lives are changed. And before long, they're having to leave Jerusalem, and they'll touch the uttermost part of the then known world. That's what it's all about. And when the book ends, when this book of Acts comes to a close, listen, churches have been planted, sermons have been preached, lives have been changed, churches have been established, and things are going fine and dandy. No, things are not going fine and dandy, because Satan was not going to allow all that to occur. And he's going to get his little self right in the big middle of it. But it's still true that what I just said, sermons were preached, lives were changed, churches were planted, and things were well for the cause of Christ, even though Satan was trying to stop it. That revival had done a work in the hearts and the minds of men and women as the new word and era began. Believing the promise. That's where it starts. Believing the promise. Receiving the power. Achieving the purpose. That's it. That's what we want. That's it. It's not a rocket science here. it's believing the promise. It is receiving the power. It's achieving the purpose. So, you knew I'd do this, so I'm going to ask it again. You've known me long enough to know I'm not going to let you get by with just one question. So here it is to wrap it up. Are you happy with where you are as a Christian? Amen. We got one that is. And amen to that, sir. And there may be others, but I think the majority of us would like a closer walk with God. I think the majority would like a spiritual renewal that would change our church and change our lives. And we've got to claim those promises, achieving the power. So would you pray for that? Would you pray that God would bring about a spiritual renewal in your life and in our church. Amen. Let's stand together.